Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
We are doing a brief study on prayer. This is our second message. Our first one contains some key points here. Pray without ceasing. We consider Jesus, who got up before day for a time of prayer. We see also that Jesus prayed an entire night through. And then we reflected just briefly, how long can you pray all night before it becomes vain repetition? We need to be careful. God does not want vain repetition. I do believe what it is a time and an attitude of prayer. Pray, meditate, reflect on Scripture, and be still and know that He is God. We saw that Jesus prayed in public. We saw that Paul taught prayer as part of the spiritual armor, put on the whole armor of God, and he said then, praying always with all prayer, in essence, pray without ceasing. Godly praying requires spiritual alertness. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ told the disciples, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. We saw that when God clearly says no, stop praying for something. Not that you stop praying, but when God surely has shown His will, move on. Okay, Lord, that was not for me. And you move on. Well, there are many things that we could pray for, confession, praise, thanksgiving, and so on. Today we want to look at a very key component of prayer, praying in the will of God. The obvious point to prayer is we expect answers. Across the street from our house, one of our neighbors owns one of these talking birds. I don't know what kind of bird it is. It's in the backyard. You can't see it, but you sure can hear this thing. And it starts out very calmly with this piercing sound, hello. And then it, hello. Hello. And no joke, it goes, hello. The first time we heard it, it was so funny. But this bird wants an answer. And he's done it multiple times. But don't we want an answer to prayer? Hello! Two young brothers were spending the night at their grandparents' house. At bedtime, they kneeled by the bed. The older one began to pray very loudly. I pray for a new baseball glove and a new bicycle and a chocolate chip cookies. The younger brother interrupted, why are you praying so loud? God can hear you. I know, Grandma can't. We want our prayers answered, and understandably so. One of the greatest key components is praying in the will of God. Therefore, are we in the will of God? I hope we are. Do we pull back? Well, I can't live up to the will of God. I'm afraid that if I get into the will of God, God's going to ask me to do something that I can't do. I don't want to be a religious fanatic or whatever it is. Sometimes people draw back from the will of God. Reject those doubts and faulty thinking and learn of God. He's got a wonderful life for you in His will. And therein lies the power to prayer for your life. Pray in God's will. Well, this is where we're going to pick up today. God wants us to know His will. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul prays for the believers at Colossae. Let us read verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. Well, what does he pray for them? To desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Did you know God wants you to know His will for you? Because then if you know it, you can pray it. But if you don't know it, the knowledge of God's will is to be with, look at it at the end of verse 9, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's rooted in spirituality. Why? What's going to happen if you understand that? Verse 10, you will walk worthy. That you might walk worthy. Walk, your daily living would be in righteousness, in wisdom and spiritual understanding, but pleasing to the Lord. Paul prays for these people that they would know the will of God. And that will of God then, because you know this, will direct your daily living. In everything that you do. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. What God has for you. And then He wants us to increase in the knowledge of God. And the more and more you know God, the more you're in tune with His will, the more and more you're going to see prayers answered. Now, I've taught this before, but it is the essence of this. What is the will of God for your life? Just remember this. The vast majority of the will of God for your life was determined at birth. When God, in His infinite wisdom, chose to plant you in time and space on this earth. Because you were born in such and such a place, it had a tremendous effect on you. Because you were born in such and such a time, it had a tremendous effect on you. Because of the family that you came into, whether it is a good family or a bad family or anything in between, it had an effect on you. Because of the place you were born, you were placed in a family that had such and such financial circumstances, political views, work ethic, opportunities for education or the lack thereof, and the list goes on. And God knew simply by the family you were born into, you were molded. And it wasn't by a mistake. It formed you to be the person you are. Your athletic abilities or the lack thereof, your academic abilities or lack thereof, none of them is faulty. It means God did that for a purpose because He had something for you in time and space. These circumstances establish the attributes, the opportunities, and the abilities that you have as a foundation for serving God. Here's where I want you. Well, God has ordained these and wants us to live holy as the very beginning and the foundation of our understanding of the will of God for us. Therefore, the beginning of the will of God for your life is be holy in the circumstances that are right in front of you. Do the obvious. Do the obvious. That's the beginning of the will of God for you. Are you a father? Be a good father. Are you a mother? Be a holy mother. Are you a student? Be a righteous student. Are you an employee? Be a righteous employee. Are you a church member? Are you a citizen? Are you a neighbor? Start there doing the obvious will of God for your life. And then as you pray and you're filled with the knowledge of His will, because when you study the scriptures are going to tell you how to be a better father, a holy father, and a holy mother, and a holy student, and a righteous, on and on and on. Start with the obvious. This is where God planted me. He must mean I'm supposed to be right here. And then let God take care of other things that come your way and will affect your life. But you have to start with the obvious. Now let's keep going considering praying in the will of God. Did you know quite often your prayers are faulty? Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Quite often we don't even know how to pray. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of God, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you pray, you get up in the morning and you pray for the day. You're sending a prayer up and the Holy Spirit's sending a prayer up. The Holy Spirit is making intercession. Your prayer is faulty. Did you know that? Because you don't know exactly what to pray. Did you know the Holy Spirit's prayer is perfect? Which prayer do you think is going to get answered? The Holy Spirit, obviously, is God the Spirit. He is praying in the perfect will for you. You're praying, He's praying. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of God of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is praying the perfect will of God for you, and your prayers are faulty. We don't even know how to pray. Therefore, guess what happens? You pray a faulty prayer, and the Holy Spirit prays a perfect prayer. God answers the Holy Spirit's prayer. And since you didn't pray that, sometimes, many times, you don't recognize the answer. Therefore, he had to tell us in verse 28, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. When that answer comes and you don't understand it, realize all things are working together for good, because God did answer the prayer of the Holy Spirit, who's in the perfect will of God. Sometimes God is going to answer very differently, and you won't recognize it. And sometimes he's going to bring things in your life to alter your path. Consider William Johnson, the founder of Holiday Inn Motels, once said, when I was 40 years old, I worked in a sawmill. One morning the boss told me I was fired. Depressed and discouraged, I felt like the world had caved in. When I told my wife what had happened, she asked what I was going to do. I replied, I'm going to mortgage our little home and go into the building business. My first venture was the construction of two small buildings. Within 5 years, I was a multimillionaire. At the time it happened, I didn't understand why I was fired. Later, I saw that it was God's unerring and wondrous plan to get me into the way of his choosing. Now, that certainly isn't to teach that God is going to make us all financially successful in this life. But it is to say that sometimes God is going to take and derail your path because he has something else for you. And therefore, we have to accept that perfect will. And sometimes we would say, well, this isn't what I prayed for. And God says, trust me, all things work together for good. James taught us that our prayers can be faulty. You ask, you receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. And so it was, he's addressing believers because they're not praying in the will of God. They're literally so far off, it's just selfishness. Selfishness. God cannot answer and honor our prayer requests when we have selfish desires. And we need to make sure that our priorities, our desires are in the will of God. And we learn these by studying the Scriptures, by applying ourselves to be the righteous person that God has us in time and space. How our priorities can change when we see things differently. It was just after 10 o'clock on the night of April 14, 1912, that the Titanic, the largest vessel then afloat, crashed in mid-Atlantic into an iceberg and 4 hours later went to the bottom. Much has been written of all that took place in those 4 hours. Survivors spoke of the calm heroism of the captain, the officers, and the crew. They also told of the courage of the bandmaster who played Nearer My God to Thee while he struggled into his life belt. And they said that many women who could have been rescued refused the offer, preferring to drown with their husbands. They told of another story also, less courageous but more curious than any of these. A certain woman who had been allotted a place in one of the boats asked if she might run back to her stateroom. She was given 3 minutes. She hurried along the corridors, already tilting at a dangerous angle, and crossed into the saloon. Money and costly gems littered the floor. Some who snatched at their jewelry split it as they ran. In her own stateroom, she saw her treasures waiting to be picked up. She saw and took no heed, snatching 3 oranges, which she knew to be there. She took her place in the boat. That little incident is instructive. An hour before, it would have seemed incredible to that woman that she would have preferred a crate of oranges to one small diamond. But death boarded the Titanic, and with one blast of his awful breath, all values were transformed. Precious things became worthless. Worthless things were precious. Oranges were more valuable than diamonds. Folks, we need to make sure we see life properly. What really matters is the will of God. This world is going to burn up, and oranges take value far greater than diamonds. Praying in the will of God. Paul taught this in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. I want to be all I can for you, dear God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Live it. Pray for it. Pray that God would bless you there. He taught such dedication in 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Which you have of God, you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. His will, not yours, to be done. Then he taught us, deny yourself. In Mark 8:34, when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What is the cross to take up? It doesn't say there's any intense search for it. It's right in front of you. Pick it up. What is it? Your life. Are you a father? Take up your cross as being a father. An employee? And of course there's multiple in a person's life. This is the obvious. Take the cross that's right in front of you, because all of those things in your life, those different aspects, all have a challenge. Hence they're a cross. And we need to apply ourselves to these. Deny yourself and be a holy father, a holy mother, a holy student, a holy employee. Very, very important. And then we can pray with confidence. Now this message started with some silly illustrations of how we want answer to prayer. But it's true. We don't pray because we don't want an answer. Now we may not really believe it. Sometimes we pray with the attitude of, you know what, I'm going to pray this, but I know God can't do this or won't do this for me. He does it for others. He did it in the Old Testament, whatever, but not me. And sometimes we pray with incredible doubt. But I want you to really consider. We ought to want answers to our prayers, pray in the will of God, and I want you to see the confidence that He wants us to have. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that we, born-again people, ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Not maybe. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. What an incredible promise. God says, pray in my will, I will hear it, I will answer it. The problem is our prayers are often so faulty that we don't recognize the answers. And the more that we start to learn the will of God and you study the Bible about how to be a righteous father, a righteous mother, a righteous friend, a righteous student, and on, the life that God has right before you, the cross for you to bear, you will pray more effectively in His will, and you're going to start to see confidently these prayers being answered. Pray according to His will. He planted you in time and space for a purpose. What a promise! If you want your prayers answered, pray in God's will. Take up your cross and fulfill those tasks before you. The problem is, many times we never get what God had for us because we didn't ask. We failed to pray. James 4:2, you lust and have not, you kill, you desire to have, you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not because you ask not. So, one of the first great truths we studied this simple series with was pray without ceasing. And yet there are believers that don't ask. And God is up there ever ready to answer your prayer, but the prayer never comes up. You have not because you ask not. So when we do pray, let's make sure we're praying in God's will. We must know God's will. Let us not be focusing our prayers on selfish desires. Rather, pray for the will of God, that He would guide, bless, direct, help you to understand, help you to make the next right decision. Do you have a challenge as a father, as a mother, and on and on and on? Be specific. Dear God, I need help here. Praying in the will of God is not just knowing God's will, it's submitting to it. Luke 22:42. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Jesus Christ, as he was facing the cross, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Many times the will of God is not going to be pleasant. But God wants us to nevertheless, I will do this. Consider the mind of Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Obedient unto death. Is this what you want, Father? Even the death of the cross, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Pray for the will of God first and foremost. God, what would you have me to do? I want you to think about the context of this confidence we have in prayer. Look at 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know, not think, hope, or maybe, know you have eternal life. Do you know you have eternal life? God says you should be able to know it, not think, hope, or maybe. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And then keep reading. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If you know you're saved, God saved your eternal soul forever and ever and ever. We have confidence that he'll give us a hamburger today. And how many times do we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, but he can't save us for today from the trials and tribulations that we face? Is something like faulty with this thinking? God, I know you can take care of me throughout all eternity, but you can't see me through tomorrow. No. We need to have a confidence. If you can save my soul for eternity, you can see me through tomorrow. Whatever it is that you have for me. And this is the confidence that we have in him, the one who saved our eternal soul, that if we ask anything according to his will, now we're living for him, we're seeking his will, we've denied ourselves, he hears us. This is confidence. This is great stuff. The confidence referred to here is that which is the result of answers to prayer. Confidence. God wants us to have incredible confidence in prayer. You figure he has equipped us at birth to grow up in the family that would give us the mindsets. Whether you were an only child, whether you had brothers and sisters, and on and on and on, it formed you to be the person you are. Then, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you were given spiritual gifts. You put those together, who you are, by the circumstances of your birth, put that together with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then you apply yourself to see God and let the Spirit bless you and guide you, you're going to be fruitful. Pray in the will of God. Many times, that life that he has for us is not real pleasant. Let's be honest. Joseph was a slave imprisoned in Egypt. David was pursued by Saul. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into a burning fiery furnace. Daniel was in a lion's den. Look at Hebrews 11:36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. But the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Well, you know, that's not what I bargained for in a Christian life. Well, then wake up. Wake up. Remember, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Years ago, an old Scottish woman went to country homes to sell thread, buttons, and shoestrings. When she came to an unmarked crossroad, she would toss a stick in the air, and whichever way the stick pointed, that's the way she would go. One day, she was seen tossing the stick into the air several times. "Why do you toss the stick several times?" someone asked. She said, "It has always pointed every time to the road going to the right, and I want it to go to the road to the left." It looked smoother. She kept on throwing up the stick until it finally pointed to the way she wanted to go. Folks, let's submit to the will of God, even when it's not real pleasant, because God will there bless us. Therefore, learn of God. Read your Bible. Attend church. Surround yourself with godly people. Put your hand to the things that are before you. Let God direct your path as you take your cross. Trust Him to lead. Be faithful in little things, the life that's before you. Luke 19:17. Listen to this biblical principle. He said unto them, "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Be faithful over the little things. How many times are we concerned already down the road? Well, when is God going to lead me to this dynamic ministry? Well, if you're not doing the simple things right in front of you, don't expect Him to take you to the next step. You be faithful in the little things. Pray to be holy and effective in the life that God's given you right now. Pray that others would be touched by your life for salvation, for spiritual growth. Pray that you would make the most of each day, and God will answer and bless these. Pray that God would enlighten you to His will, that you can pray more effectively. It all begins at salvation. I want you to consider for a second John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And let's stop there. As we think about submitting to the will of the Father, not my will but thine be done, let us consider that verse again. For God so loved the world, for God the Father so loved the world that He said to His only begotten Son, I want you to go. And the Son said, you love Him, you go. It doesn't say that. God loved, and He looked at Jesus and said, you go, and you die on the cross. Right there He submitted to the will of the Father. Yes, Lord, if that's what You want me to do, nail me to a cross. Because when He did submit, He obeyed and He gave His life. Salvation was made for every person. Therefore, how do you go to heaven? Let that hand represent you, me, and every person. Let that billfold represent sin. God loves you. He hates the sin. And there's nothing that we can do in our flesh to get rid of that sin. You could join every church in town, walk aisles, raise hands, water, baptism, communion, and go down the list. None of those will get you eternal life. None of those will satisfy that sin debt. Because in our flesh, there's nothing we can do. Let that hand represent Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. When He was on that cross 2,000 years ago, He was God. He was perfect. He was perfect. And He could pay sin's debt. The sin of the whole world was laid on Him. He gave up the ghost. 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb, He rose again, paid in full. How do you go to heaven when you realize in the quietness of your mind, I get it. I'm a sinner. And there's nothing that I can do to get rid of that sin debt. Nothing. And I realize Jesus paid it all. It's not me and Jesus. It's Jesus only. He shed His blood. He submitted to the will of the Father to come down to this earth, dwell among men, and be nailed to a cross to pay the sin of the world, my sin. For God so loved the world, but He hated the sin, that He gave His only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of the world. Whosoever sinner believes in His work of redemption, shed blood, broken body, death, burial, resurrection, do you believe in that and that alone for your salvation? The moment you believe, you have everlasting life. That's the beginning of the Christian life. How long is everlasting life? That sounds stupid, but it makes a point. Everlasting life is everlasting. How could you lose it? If you could lose it, it wasn't everlasting. It was temporary probation. You can't lose eternal life. It's not what you do that gets rid of that sin. It's what Jesus did. Believe in Him. You have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.